Genesis chapter 14. I want to read several portions to you having to do with a man robbing God. The Lord tells us what he means by that. What do you mean we've robbed you? Tithes and offerings. So we're going to consider some details that I haven't been able to bring to your attention in the past 2 weeks. So let me read briefly from several portions. Genesis 14, look at verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him a tenth of all. Now, chapter 28. Jacob has had this experience at a place that he calls Bethel. He's talking to God. And in verse 20, Jacob vowed a vow saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, and the Lord will be my God, then this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now, a reference in Numbers 18. Numbers 18, and look at verse 26. It tells us the tithe is to be the portion of the Levites in this chapter. And then it tells us in verse 26, Moreover, thou shalt speak unto the Levites and say unto them, When ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up a heave offering of it for the Lord, a tithe of the tithe. And your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you, as though it were the grain of the threshing floor and the fullness of the winepress. That's all. Now, let's turn over to 2 Chronicles 31. I'm going to have to abbreviate these readings. Perhaps I'll bring them out to you as we go along. And starting at verse 4. Moreover, he, that is Hezekiah, commanded the people that dwell in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites, that they might give themselves to the law of the Lord. Notice that. A commandment is given to give that the priests and Levites might give themselves to the Lord. Verse 5. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel gave in abundance the first fruits of grain, new wine, oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. And the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of the oxen and sheep and the tithe of the dedicated things and so forth and so on. Verse 11. Then Hezekiah commanded to prepare chambers in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them and brought in the oblations and the tithe and the dedicated things faithfully. Why? Look at verse 9. Then Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites concerning the heap. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house, and Zadok answered and said, Since the people began to bring the oblations into the house of the Lord, we have eaten and have enough, and have left plenty, for the Lord hath blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store. That's all I'm going to read for now. Perhaps we'll read other portions later. Let's speak to God again in prayer. our Father. We thank you for the fascination of the Word of God. Lord, what part of our life does it not touch? We confess that there are so many things that we think are unimportant to thee, and yet thou dost put great prominence upon them. And there are some things that we think are important, and how seldom thou dost mention them. And so let us understand what is the weightier matter of the law, and what is the lesser matter of the law, knowing both the weightier and the lesser matters of the law, and how they apply to us under grace. And so, this thy people who are here this night, bless them, we pray. Teach them about the giving of thy Son for them, and teach them about the giving of themselves and their substance to thy Son. We confess our sins, we confess our dependence upon thee, and so look upon us and bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I read you from Genesis 14 and Genesis 28 for this reason. Without any recorded reference of God's telling man, when Melchizedek comes and blesses Abram, Abram gives him a tenth of all. Why did he do that? Who told him to? Where did he learn to do that? And when Jacob has this experience with God at the place he calls Bethel, why is it that he arrived at that figure to say that he would give to God? Where did he learn that? Can anybody tell me where God mentions the tithe? Well, let me ask you this. When you read, before you come to Exodus 24 and the book of Leviticus prescribing what sacrifices are to be given, you read throughout the book of Genesis about men offering sacrifices to God. Where did they learn about that? It may be that God told Adam and his descendants these things at first, and they passed it on to their children. I say he may. You have no record of that, nor do I. Unless it says, now faith cometh by hearing, and it says by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice, but that is conjecture, I do not know. But if you go to the remote places of the earth, you will find that in the heart of the creature, there is something that wants to offer God something, wants to sacrifice to God, and it may be intuitive. It may be that God, even though man has fallen, has in the makeup of man something that desires to give to God, to recognize God, to worship God, however vaguely he understands what it means. And some of the things that man did intuitively by the light of creation and by the light of nature and by the light of conscience, God says these things are wrong. But there are other things that man has done, and we have no record of God's telling them to do those things. God says, this is to be done. And that is remarkable. What God has done concerning sacrifices is to say, your sacrifices are correct. You are to offer those sacrifices. This is the way you are to offer them. You are giving me the tenth is correct. This is the way you are to give me the tenth. And so instead of God saying concerning everything that comes out of the heart of man, instead of saying, it's all wrong, I'm going to give you a fresh revelation, there are some things when it says that the Gentiles, the heathen, not knowing God, do by nature the things of the law, not having the law. And so some things that men do by nature, God accepts, and some things God rejects. Because there is the offering unto God, but God hated the offering of children to him, and yet man was doing that. But there sprang from man's heart the desire to give to God, the sacrifice to God. And God said, sacrifices, yes. Tithes and offerings, your substance, yes. But you have to do it this way. And then God said, these are the animals you are to offer to me, but you are to offer me no animals that do not have a cloven hoof and do not chew the cud. I do not want these animals as offerings, because some man in his natural state may take an unclean animal according to the law and offer it to God, thinking that he's glorifying God. God said, I do not want that animal. And another man may offer God a diseased animal without horns or hoofs, and God says, I do not want that animal. It is not that God does not want the animals, but he said, I want these clean animals, and I want them to be in this condition when you give them to me. And you say, why? But we know that God accepted the animals and God accepted the tithes because they remind us of his son. The animals remind us of his son. And for that reason, it could not be any animal that man desired to offer to God. That was not acceptable. But certain animals. And when you look at those animals, they are a study in themselves and a revelation of the person of Christ. Brute beasts are revelation of the person of Christ. Why? Because God said, what you're doing is right. Now do it this way. And tithing is right, but you must do it this way. And just as he regulates what animals are to be offered, how often, which animal was to be offered for the dealing with which sin, so in like manner, God says, you tithe, but it is not just when you feel like it, you give to me. It is not just as Cain, you give to me what you want, when you want. God said, you will give to me a tenth of everything that you possess. Everything. Well, I didn't want to go that far. God said, you ought to go that far. And you are to give it to me at this prescribed time, every year, every third year. You are to bring it to the place where I shall choose for my name to dwell. Not where you want to give it to me. You give it here. And then every third year within thy gates you shall deal with your tithe. You see? God has regulation as to how much, how often, in what place his tithes are to be given. And it's not left up to man to say, well, I think this is enough. Because someone might say, that's too much to give to God. I do not think that God has so great a claim upon my life. God does not care what you think. He says, you have been brought into covenant relationship with me, and this is what must be done. And that's why when I read to you from Leviticus 27 and Numbers 18 and Deuteronomy 12 and 14 and 26, they gave ever so many details about the tithes that were to be given. And so understand, all of you understand this, that God is interested in mundane things, in the material possessions in your life. God is interested in them, and if you are talking about a covenant relationship under the law, God says part of the covenant is your giving to me. You expect me to give to you, to protect you? Yes. Well then, I expect you to recognize me in giving this much. This time, in this way. And do not think that God is a spirit and must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, but when you worship him with material things, it says, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. A spiritual God is worshipped and well pleased with material sacrifices. And some people are not aware of that. But God is, and that's why he goes into all these details telling them about the regulations of their tithing. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that the Levites and the priests in the Old Testament were to proportionately to get as much as the ordinary child of Israel? Was he to get less or was he to get more? You say, well, I don't know. I don't think that the Levite worked as hard as the ordinary Israelite, and I do not know if his work was as important as growing grain and grapes and olives, I do. God said, I'm not asking you how important you think it is. And I'm not asking you whether you think he should get money or should not get money, and how much money he should get. He said, if you do it the way that I've regulated it, the wealthiest people in Israel proportionally would be the Levites. Now, do you think that way about me? That I should be wealthier than all of you? Do you think so? You say, well, I wouldn't go that far. I know. Do you know what William Smith told me the other week? I was talking about evaluation of things. And you see, when you were from 20 to 60, you were worth 50 shekels of silver. And I made the mistake of telling him I was now over 60. And he said, well, your worth is reduced to 15 shekels. We're going to let that be reflected in what we give you. But understand that concerning the Levites in the Old Testament, and this is why it is so delightful. If God wants you to have more than I have, and I know it's from God, then my mouth is shut. If God wants me to have more than you, is your mouth shut? Is it? Well, now figure, you can figure it very easily, and it's been thought of, and I just want to bring it to your attention. If there are 12 tribes, and all the tribes give 10%, let's say, and we're making it ever so simple, that they make $100 a week, and the 11 tribes give 10%. That means $110. Well, they made $100, and the Levite gets $110. And so, the man who served God got 10% more than those who had secular positions in Israel, breaking it out proportionally. Do you believe that's good? I remember a humorous experience some months back. I was having some work done on my teeth, and there were the dentist and his nurse, and they were from different denominations, and they stick your mouth full of cotton and wadding, and then the dentist said, now, my nurse has a question. The question is this, do you believe that preachers from denominations should get large salaries? And then he starts drilling, and I'm trying to answer the question. But they asked the question, and finally when they got through, then I tried to answer the question. But it was in her heart that a preacher should not get a good amount. Now, what about this dentist? You see, I asked her this, and then she had nothing to say. I said, well, is it important for work being done on your teeth? Yes. Well, do you think that this dentist gets more money than your preacher? Yes. Well, does he deserve to get it? What could she say? She worked for him, you understand? Well, now, which is more important, work on your teeth or work on your soul? And suddenly, the conversation ended because she had to say, work on your soul. Well, if that's so, which one should get more money doing the more important work? They dare not say, well, the soul work isn't important, do you understand? They will say it with their lips, but when it works out practically, they say, no, do you understand? And this is why God has written in His Word that if one has this much wealth and another has 10% more wealth, and God said, I want it that way, then man will say nothing. He will rejoice because God has told him, by no means. When God said, I want Aaron and his descendants to have the priesthood, and I want you, Korah, and your sons to have the service of the tabernacle. Of course, Korah was satisfied because God had said it. He said, you take too much upon yourself. We are just as good as you are. And in like manner, if there are those, and it says concerning elders in the New Testament, they that rule well are to be counted worthy of double honor, if such a thing were to happen, that those that rule well and teach the word of God well were to receive double honor, and ordinary preachers were just to receive not double honor, you would say, that is inequity. But I read it to you from God's word. You understand? That is what is so distressing, that God tells us things. I want the Levites to be the wealthier in comparison to the other tribe, and I want the one who rules well and teaches well and so forth to receive double honor. We would say, we can't do that. We cannot have this disparity among the servants of God. Well, I just bring those things to your attention to show you that God does not want everything to be equal. When Christ ascended on high, he did not gift all of you the way he gifted me. He did not at the same time enable me to do the things that he enabled you to do. And so God says, I want things this way. And that is why he says, you cannot worship me, you cannot give to me anytime you please, what you please, the way you please. He said, I will accept of your substance, but you are to give it to me at this time, at this place, in this way. And so it's not just enough to say, I'm religiously inclined and I give to God. Well, how much do you give to God? How often do you give to God? Where do you give to God? And so the Lord has taken all of these things into consideration. And having said that, inasmuch as if my reckoning is correct about the 11 or 10%, times 11 is 110%, if that is so, well, it was so excellent to be a Levite because throughout the history that we have recorded in the Old Testament, the Levites were the wealthiest and they were always faithfully cared for wherever we read of them in the Old Testament. But sad to say, you'll find that that wasn't so. Because when anything can be left out, if you have a budget, you think now, I have to pay the food bill. I have to buy this medicine. But the money that you give to God, well, that can pass. We can overlook that. Why? Well, evidently, you tell me why. Evidently, medicine and food are more important than what God's portion is. And when you say that, God says, you have robbed me. Robbed me? Yes, you have robbed me. And so that's the way that we think. But God says, I'm not allowing you to think that way. That is why I'm telling you these things. And what happened is that both in 2 Chronicles 31 and in Nehemiah chapter 13, and I believe I will let you see this. Turn to Nehemiah 13. Look at verse 10. Nehemiah 13:10. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. So that the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled, everyone to his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place, then brought all Judah, the tithe of the grain and of the new wine and the oil unto the treasury. And look at verse 14. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the observances thereof. Remember me, O my God. Here is a man that thinks of the physical welfare of those who cared for the spiritual welfare of the children of Israel. And so, what was the Levite to do? You see, what happens to those that have secular positions, even though they are not providing for the Levites here, they say, why are you forsaking the work of the house of God? God tells you why. They have fled to their fields. Why? They have no substance. They have nothing to provide for their family. And therefore they had to go out and forsake the work of the house of God so that they could provide for their houses and their family. And Nehemiah contended with them. And he made it come to pass that those that cared for the house of God and the spiritual responsibilities of Israel, that they were provided for. And he says, remember me, O my God, concerning this. And I say, amen. God, remember him and all others that are concerned for similar servants of God in the New Testament. Because some would look at the poor servants of God. Why don't you study more? Why is it that you're in this secular position? Why don't you stay in the Word more? The reason is like unto 13 verse 16. They fled to the fields. Why? Because they had nothing to live on. That's why. And they are contended with, and Nehemiah straightens these things out. That is what is so important. Now, when he did this, and when someone like Nehemiah, and remember, you have some that constantly beg. There are other servants of God that will never ask you for a thing. They will simply go and labor with their hands, and you will suffer. For this reason, when you impoverish the servants of God, you are impoverished yourself. Do you remember that? You say, it doesn't matter. Oh, but it does matter. Because when a servant of God has time to study the Word of God and does not flee to the field and have all of these responsibilities and the burden of providing for his household upon him, then he is able to serve the Lord as he should. He's able to do the work around the house of God. You may apply it the way you want to. You know how it was under the law. He has, and it speaks about the house of God. We are the house of God, and he had his responsibilities, and we have ours. And for that reason, he has time to study. But when this is not so, then he does not have time to study, and the quality of ministry goes down. And when the quality of ministry goes down, you say, he doesn't have anything to say. I don't enjoy going to meeting. And therefore, you have a less desire to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And this goes on. And it all breaks down that when the servant of God is impoverished, you are impoverished, and you would blame it on the servant, but it may be something just as simple as his praying, give us this day our daily bread. And you have failed just as they did in 2 Corinthians 31 and in Nehemiah chapter 13. But I'm glad that there are men like Nehemiah that will get things done. And he was one who was not a Levite. He was in a secular position. And he said, you are going to take care of the people of God. And those are the ones that do it. Now, the reason that I'm speaking to you about giving now is that and going through the books of the Bible, I came to the portion in Malachi chapter 3, and this was the opportunity. I may go for years and not say anything else about it, but when I come to it, I'm going to tell you about it. But suppose the servants of God are waiting years for a man to finally get around to Malachi chapter 3. What then? What happens to the house of God and the welfare of the people of God? And if he dare say anything, but you keep these things in mind. It means, therefore, that those that are in secular positions, like Nehemiah and like King Hezekiah, they are the ones that can get things done. It says the king commanded, he said, you take care of the people of God. And there was an immediate response, and that's beautiful. There was so much. It said they had piles and piles of food. And now, let me emphasize this again. Bring into the storehouse, God says, these things that belong to me. And all these piles of food were brought into the storehouse. And what is so humorous is that, look in chapter 13, I'll show you this. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 4, it says, now, before this, Eliashib, the priest, who was appointed over the chambers of the house of our God, being alive with Tobiah, had prepared for him a great chamber, which aforetime they laid the offerings and the frankincense and the vessels and the tithes of the grain and the new wine and the oil that was given by commandment to the Levites and the singers and the porters. And this man, since it was empty, moved in to the storehouses. He moved in. And look now. But it says in verse 6, but in all this time I was not at Jerusalem. But when he came back, what did he do? Verse 7, I came to Jerusalem and understood the evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God, and it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chambers. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meal offerings and the frankincense. Thank God for men like Nehemiah. And he says, remember me, O Lord. Yes, remember those as our Savior. This is a picture of our Savior who drove out the money chambers that were in the court of the Gentiles, we are told. So here is one like unto Christ who wants the house of God, not to be a house of merchandise, but here is the store chamber. And God says, bring the tithe into the storehouse. And how could you contend with living in it? And so thank God, Hezekiah knew how to straighten things out, and Nehemiah knew how to straighten things out. And this is what I wanted to tell you about those when things are right, like a Levite, because a Levite has his responsibilities around the house of God, and a farmer and a secular man has his responsibilities on the farm. And at times, I thought of this. I thought about a crisis arising and how good it would be if I owned land and I could plant food and provide in case there was some sort of depression, if there was a time when people forgot you. And I was talking to a farmer in another state, and I said, you know, I've thought about planting a garden because emergencies may arise. And this man had hundreds of acres of food everywhere. And he said something like this. He said, don't you worry about food. He said, you feed me the word. He said, I'll feed you food. And so that is why I read to you about the Levite. Here is the Levite, and he had nothing of olives or of grapes or of grain to give to God. But God said, what you have, you give, and it will be reckoned unto you for all of those things. And so what does it mean? It means that, no, I don't have the time that this farmer did to plant hundreds of acres of food, and he doesn't have the time to study the Word of God as I do. But the Savior said to me, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And at the same time, he said to this farmer, you provide for my servants. And this farmer said, you do your part, and I will do mine. And therefore, if he does not have the time or the gift to study God's Word, he has the means to provide the sustenance of, applying it to us, the priests and the Levites, that we may give ourselves to the study of God's Word. And then I come and feed him, and he is blessed, and I am blessed, and I am not impoverished, and therefore he is not impoverished. And all of these things are contained, and all of them are bound up with being faithful to God in material things. But sad to say, there are some, and I could have read to you, I'll just tell you about it, in Amos chapter 4. There are some who meticulously carry out, but it's a wrong way in Amos 4, but they give the tithe not according to God's specifications, but so frequently they give the tithe. But they give it at Bethel, the wrong place. I can't go into that now. But they are meticulous about that. And at the same time, think of those in Matthew 23 and Luke 11, and the Savior says, you tithe mint and anise and cumin, and you have left undone the weightier matters of the law, justice and faith and mercy and love. He said, these you ought to have done, and not to have left the other undone. But there are some who give to God, and they leave the weightier matters, justice and faith and mercy and love, they leave those undone. And then there are some who say, well, I do the weightier matters of the law. I'm interested in justice and love and faith and mercy. The tithing, that is inconsequential. The Savior said, you are to do both of them. And so they are your spiritual responsibilities. And Christ mentions those four, justice and faith and mercy, and love. Yes, they are to be attended to, but do not think if you attend to them, you don't have to give to God. And then there are some who say, well, I can't be bothered with all of those things. I'll pay my way by giving material things. The Savior says, no, these ought you to have done, and not to have left the other undone. And so God wants us morally and materially to be those that are acceptable in His sight. And by God's grace, you and I, so be that way. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that you will accept from our hands filthy lucre and grain and vegetables and olives and whatever possessions we have, you are interested in them, and you designate them as sacrifices. We are thankful, our Father, because thou dost know that so often what sacrifices of our heart and our lips we offer to thee, they seem so inadequate, and thou dost know, our Father, the unworthiness that is within us. But you accept these things, and so let us treasure them. The weightier matters of the law, and the less weighty matters of the law. Let us be well-rounded Christians, and let us worship thee in all the ways that thou dost prescribe in thy word. Hear us, we ask of thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.